Okay. You can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Then we continue from where we stop. Page 155, training the heedless or mundane mind. This one you can go and read up because I've explained many times. You can train your mind because it's heedless. So train the heedless mind, the mundane mind. When that one ceases or is no longer active, then the nature shine forth, or the nature come forth. The nature don't practice. You don't try to practice to be aware. Where your true mind or the true nature is already aware, and you only need to silence, then it will manifest. Next page. Because the nature is awareness itself, so why must you practice to be aware? What you already have within your nature, you don't have to train or practice to get it, is it? When you don't have, then you have to train, you have to practice. Just like the mundane mind, which is heedless, thinks a lot, restless, with all the memories and delusion. That one you need to practice. That's why you only train the mundane mind. But to develop sati and mindfulness, you don't go and practice. Understand? So this one is easy. The Buddha taught you five ways to overcome unwholesome thought. The third way is what? Just aware. Understand? Don't do anything. Then the mundane mind will return to its original state before stirring. And you will come to realize that the original state of mind before the stirring is already aware. And this awareness is a silence, is the silence, the peace, the tranquility and the stillness. So don't try to be aware. You only have to understand that the moment you don't think, this awareness is already there. It is in fact all the time there. But because you are clouded by thought, deluded by thought, actively chasing after thought, you cannot see and you cannot understand. Why? Because you lack mindfulness or awareness. And the meditator, which is the thought, is so active. So how can there be silence? That's why the real meditation is just silent. Get this understood. It's very important. But initially you can be silent. Initially you cannot be silent because the mundane mind got a lot of mental hindrance, a lot of delusion or security. That's why it thinks a lot, because all of your conscious living since birth until now, you use thought, endlessly using thought. That's why they say the heedless thinks a lot. So now you understand why most of you think a lot. It's only either at a retreat or you have cultivated before in the past, then for a certain moment of your life, you may experience that silence. Then the moment you experience it, you will know the big difference between heedless thinking mind and the heedful silent mind. That's why when you see the difference between the two, you will determine never to become heedless anymore. Because the heedless state is the heedful state is so beautiful, whereas the heedless state is so full of suffering, problem, and delusion, leading to all the fear, worry, sorrow, lamentation, anxiety, and misery. All of the so-called problems of life, and that's the reason why Jay Krishnamurti say, problem will always exist when the activity of the self, which is the ego, is there. You can never be free. Then after that, what did Krishnamurti say? He said, awareness, on the other hand, is not self-induced, nor is it the outcome of practice. So you don't go and foolishly practice to be mindful. You only need to train your mundane mind to be quiet via anchoring it to something so that it will not wander off, so that it will stay, or it can stay with the object of meditation, so that it can be with the moment without thought. After you have anchored it, you have to stabilize it until it becomes very quiet and still. Anchor it through what? Through an awareness. Since the mind can only do one thing at a time, so if you think a lot, then how can you train the mundane mind? So you have to anchor it to something so that it doesn't wander off. It's just aware of the in and out breath. That's why anapanasati is recommended. You train the mundane mind to be to just be aware of the in and out breath until one day when the mandi mind comes to realize that if it listens to you, it will be very peaceful. If it doesn't listen to you, it will become very heedless. This is the beginning. That's why I say the moment you can train your mind and be aware, that's only the beginning of real meditation. Now you understand what I mean. Last time, you all could not understand. Last time when I say, not until you are able to train your mind until it's ever mindful in the midst of life, your real meditation has not started. Everybody look at me, you know. Don't believe. They thought, I go retreat, I see, I so calm, I got all this fantastic jhana, nimitta. Why Brother Teo say haven't start? Because you're not heedful. You know? If you're not ever mindful, how can you be heedful? If you're not heedful in the midst of life, you're as if dead. And you say you meditate. That's why you can't start. Then they asked me this question. No? They said, you mean after attending all the retreat, I come back, I still haven't started the real meditation? Huh? What do you think? What the answer? Huh? I say, yes, you haven't started. Yes, you could not understand what sati is. And not only that, without sati, you cannot develop heedfulness. So the heedful never die, whereas the heedless are as if dead. So that's what you are doing. Then understanding content of consciousness, we have gone through. But I read to you, this one is very nice, very beautiful, because it is linked to the session at that time. I was teaching the four foundation of mindfulness. It was a Satipatthana session, lesson 5. Now after you have developed the understanding, you can really laugh, because heedlessness is like that. The mundane mind is like that, and you cannot differentiate between the two. Your true mind and your thinking mind, which is also the mundane mind or deluded, self-deluded mind. Then what else did Krishnamurti say? He said, awareness, on the other hand, is not self-induced, nor is it the outcome of practice. It is an understanding, which is wisdom. To understand what thought is and all the related problems that thought has created. So content of consciousness means the hidden as well as the superficial. You know what is the hidden? The hidden is your subconscious and unconscious. That one you cannot see. But as superficial is the conscious mind. So you have to develop the understanding, the whole understanding of the whole content of it. Of that so-called thought which is related to your so-called problem. When you grasp and cling deludedly to the thought, which is your 5 mental aggregates of form and mind, they will become grasping aggregate. Then suffering will arise. So your whole of suffering or problem which is related to the content of consciousness, both the hidden and the supervision, you must develop the understanding of it. Then how you do it? According to J. Krishnamurti, the surface must be understood for the hidden to show up. The hidden cannot be exposed if the surface mind is not quiet. You know what is the surface mind or not? Your thinking mind, your mundane mind. If that one not quiet, how can you be silent and aware? So now you understand. So when the chattering is still going on, how can you meditate? That mundane thinking mind has to be quiet. Only then there is sati and samadhi. Then only you can meditate. Otherwise, the spiritual faculty of sati and samadhi cannot arise. Sati is what? Just a silent inner awareness. And samadhi is the stability of it. This sati and samadhi also not developed as yet. And you want to meditate. So who meditate? The thought meditate. That's why without sati, you cannot meditate. The spiritual faculties are still not there, and you want to meditate. That's why you are wasting your time. Thought-based meditation has this problem, where the thought is actively noting, labeling, and labeling. Concept after concept. Next words explain it even better. J. Krishnamurti explained to you how verbalization dulls the mind. He used such word, no. When you verbalize, you dull your true mind. No? So I will read and quote again. The surface must be understood for the hidden to show up. The hidden cannot be exposed if the surface mind is not quiet. That's why you must have sati. Eh? Silence the mundane mind to develop understanding. So you have to really, really silence the mundane mind to develop the understanding. The whole process of understanding the thought has nothing to do with words, verbalization, nor is it a matter of mere experience. Your experience is also from the thought, understand or not. Who experience? The thought experience. Eh? The thought experience fear, pleasant, unpleasant, nice, not nice. Awareness doesn't experience. Awareness is just aware. Awareness has got no mental state and there is no like and dislike. The experience comes from the mundane mind. So the next word is what? Verbalization and verbalize. Okay. So the next word is what? Verbalization and? How come? Repeat. Oh, colloquial language. Yeah. Well, I have to repeat it. Yeah? I first say verbalization. Then I ask, and verbalization indicates what? Can you understand? Yeah? Nothing wrong. Eh? Yes, dullness of mind. Understand? And you all, some more, go and note. When you note means what? Note rising, falling. You are verbalizing, creating concept and sound. Note pain, pain, pain. What are you doing? Verbalizing, creating mental hindrance through words. That's why I say, you go and note, rising, rising, falling, falling, etc. To make your mind even more down. But if you know how to do chanting, then it's different. Vibration comes out and the awareness is aware of it, which is not the thought noting another thought. When you are aware of the thought, it is a different thing. It is via sati. Thought will arise because upon contact it will trigger off. And there is an awareness which can be with the moment of contact, the moment of rising of consciousness. Just like what the Buddha said, in the seeing, is just the seeing consciousness. That's why you can stay at the vinyanang. Sankara make contact with the mind as an organ, then consciousness automatically appear like the physics experiment, the light bulb light up. Then you can be aware at that moment. It doesn't move. Then you can understand how mind conditioned by its content of consciousness move and stir inside as the content of consciousness. You can be with the moment to be aware of them all. That's why sati can see through and sati can see all the aggregates of thought. But thought cannot see awareness. So this one is very important. It's a very important understanding. J. Krishnamurti said, verbalization indicates dullness of mind. And experience means what? What is experience? Memory, isn't it? Huh? Cumulative. That's why when Krishnamurti used the word cumulative, what does it mean? Ah, yes, because somebody mentioned memory. You accumulate what you experience as memory. That's why accumulated, cumulative. That's why Mahayana Buddha said, sorry, Buddhism said, the second noble truth is accumulation or qi. Ku qi mie tao. The fourth noble truth they recite as ku qi mie tao. It never say cause of suffering. It say you continue to accumulate suffering. There is suffering. Sorry, there is accumulation. So accumulation being cumulative makes for repetition. You know why? When you accumulate in the brain memory, then memory is, what is a memory? Experiences, good and bad, isn't it? Everything that you hold on to. Isn't it? So how did thought arise? Respond to all this? Memory, right or not? So when you keep on accumulating or keep on holding, it will produce more thought, isn't it? That's why you think a lot. That's why I say your brain, your mind must be not so clouded, more orderly, without space. It cannot. It must have space. That's why the best is the space is so clear that there is clarity, hardly anything there, just aware. Then he continued to say, when you do that, you continue to to accumulate suffering, and there is accumulation. So accumulation being cumulative, Jaya Krishnamurti say, makes for repetition, because you will repeat all this. It become thought. Memory create thought. Your thought is respond to memory. You know why Jaya Krishnamurti say that? When you accumulate as memory, that is your downfall. Because if you cannot see that it is just a thought, that you retrieve your memory, that it will condition your craving, your positive and negative craving, where you had to because you had that experience before. Let's say you come across nice food or beautiful experiences or good meditative experience. Then what happened? Next time when you do your meditation and when you eat something, you want to compare and you want to measure through what? Through memory again. Wow, last time that shop very nice. Oh, my last meditation was so beautiful. Then you make a wish. How nice if I can repeat that experience. Then your meditation become what? Good and bad experiences. Then what are you doing? Then where is your heedfulness? Where is the training? Then where is the Noble Eightfold Path? That's how you lost your focus. Do you understand? Because you got distracted by the very peaceful and calm state of that meditative experience. That's why Jai Krishnamurti say, experience, very good or bad, being cumulative makes for repetition. So you will repeat it through your thought process. You will measure, understand? You will compare. Because last time you got it so nice before, so now not so nice. Then you say, today my meditation lousy. What is the purpose of meditation? To train your mind to be heedful, to awaken to the truth, to develop wisdom. What are you doing? You meditate to seek for calmness, good and bad meditation. That is not meditation. Understand? Yeah? That is seeking peace. Meaning you want to be repeated. That's how you develop habits, because you crave for that good experience. That's how you get into delusion. That's how you get afflicted. When things don't go your way, and when you cannot get what you want, suffering is the result. And that's one of the first noble truth reality, means the seventh one, that can condition one's suffering. And you still happily are playing with it, thinking that you are very great. Wow, I want to meditate until I get back that state. So now, you start to understand why all these are actually foolishness and delusion, isn't it? Awareness is not determination. The next line under Krishnamurti is, awareness is not a matter of determination. You cannot determine to be aware. Well, who determined? The thought determined. So for purposive direction, is resistant. That's why there is no harmony. That's why you cannot get it. Yeah. And because thought direct means you want something your way, or you want things your way. That's why you resist. That's why I say you have to accord and flow if you want to be free. Meditation is not about resisting anything. You just relax and silent, accord and flow, and be with the moment. Then you will understand. Then Jai Krishnamurti continue to say, which tends towards exclusiveness. What does it mean? The egoic mind wants that. Means what? Means the egoic mind wants that. Me and I can do this. Imply very exclusive. Like just now we say, I can multiply, one into 1,000. You can or not? Like that. What? David Copperfield. I can go through Great Wall. No, you cannot. I can make the Statue of Liberty disappear. So you want to be exclusive, isn't it? That one is the ego. I already improved. My meditation is already not bad. And all these are from the thought. So that's why when you determine to be successful, to progress, that is from the thought. Then there is a direction, there is a goal where you want to walk towards. That's why the moment you want to be an arahant, you are dead already. Because the becoming kills you spiritually, where there is a craving. Who wants to become an arahant? The thought wants to become. And becoming is craving, understand? Or? The cause of suffering is what? Craving. And you become craving. Because you want to become arahant. You want to become enlightened. The moment you have craving, you cannot realize enlightenment. So very clear, isn't it? Huh? So don't try to become anything. Just silent and sincerely, patiently cultivate. Then you will awaken. If you are nothing and nobody, you will awaken, isn't it? True or not? That true mind, is it a person? Can you call it by anything? Of course, you say, Brother Teo, that word, true mind. True mind is a word, not that thing, understand? That thing, no word. That thing, aware. So, understand this, then you will not be deceived. The moment the mundane mind awakens and realize itself and sees, that's wisdom. Understand? Then no more delusion. And when wisdom arises, there is no more delusion. That's why you could see things as they are. You awaken to the three universal characteristics of nature. There is no more delusion. And thought will have no power over you. Then you see things as they are, which is beyond thought, beyond time. Otherwise, you continue to use thought, which is psychological time. Then you will be trapped in time and trapped within the field of thought. Then next section, the mystery of life unfold. This is very important. Then next one is what? After awareness is the silent and choiceless observation of what is said, in this awareness, the problem unfolds itself. True or not? Through the direct seeing. I prefer to use the word unfold, because he say, he used the word what? Unroll, unfold is better. This can happen because when you're silent and aware, the phenomena will tell you the story. Your silent mind will awaken and understand. The awareness without thought will awaken to it and understand what it is. That is how you will understand without word. How contact trigger of consciousness? Well, it happens within your awareness. Not only consciousness, within the content that you input into, there is also feeling, which will simultaneously also arise. You will come to know them all, not through the textbook, not through the one-dimensional dependent origination that says upon contact, feeling arise. Then you go and look for feeling. This is so gullible, isn't it? Just like the physics experiment. Upon contact, consciousness come to be. The mind become conscious first. And then within, there is also the content of consciousness where perception and feeling also arise. Then feeling will be stirred and be conditioned into craving because of self-delusion. Due to your lack of wisdom or wise attention, yoniso manasikara at the moment of contact. You got instead a yoniso manasikara, which is unwise attention. So this is how living being gets into trouble. So when you understand all this, the whole mystery of life slowly, like unfold itself, then you will understand, start to understand how you function as a human being following dependent origination or the dwelling. That's why when you develop the silent mind, don't try to know anything. And when you meditate, don't try to know or try to say, is this sati? Is this impermanent, anicchang? Or is this what the Buddha meant by anatta? But after the meditation, you can reflect and contemplate. But when you are meditating or doing it, never do it. If you do, means what? The thought is trying to come in from the back door to tell you all this. Then how can you be in the state of sati? Who say it is anicchang, your thought? That is why dharma-based or thought-based meditation will have all this problem. I realize already, this is what the book say, this is what the Buddha say. All these are your thoughts, verbalization, understand? You say, not the Buddha say. Then the question by Sister Bilan. Oh, from Australia one. You remember this lady? Huh? Bilan. He followed our spiritual trip also. He came to, was it? No, I think he followed our spiritual trip. I think Madam Ho was there with her. Same birthday, I think, those few people. You remember Bilan? The fat lady. But very cute, very humorous. She's very cute. Yes, there is some truth in that statement. Sorry, did I read to you the question? Oh, no. Is this the reason why when you go for a certain retreat, they don't allow you to read book? You heard of this type of rules, isn't it? They ban you from reading book. Oh. And that monk that teaches the 6R, he said you want to follow him. 6 months cannot read book. You can tahan or not. Storybook also cannot. But what he means is Dhamma book. So newspaper also cannot read. No? Then you on the handphone. Say, I didn't read book. This is handphone. E-book. Also book. Also cannot. I answer. I say, yes, there is some truth in that statement. That is when you meditate, don't read anything. But it does not apply to everyone. Because some people who are cultivated in the past, if they read or hear the truth, the moment they read truth or they hear the truth, they can straight away become enlightened. They awaken straight away. So it doesn't mean that you cannot read. You can read, but don't attach or carry the information as knowledge in your brain. When you meditate, have an open mind. That's what choiceless awareness is all about. Don't, in the meditation, verbalize. I remember what the text say, what the Buddha say. Then you are finished. Or you become heedless again. Actually, it is not the Buddha or the textbook that say. It is your thought that say. And you cannot see all this. And you somehow say, I have sati. And you still think you are such a great meditator by saying that I have been meditating for 20, 30, and 40 years already. So don't come and tell me all this BS. That's why I didn't print the H and I. So Bu, asterisk, T. Because don't want to sound so negative. Also, you call what? Vulgar. Is that word vulgar? Quite vulgar. Offensive, I think punk got the right word. It's quite offensive. People don't like or no. You throw shit at them, no, like, correct or not? When you say, instead of you lie, you bullshit, how you feel? You feel very bad, isn't it? But why bullshit? Why not cow shit? You mean lady cow always tell lie? Boo is the male or female? Oh, male, I say, the man or the lion. Quite reasonable. Man or got reason. You got go out and tao jia. You know what is tao jia? You got affair. They say among men, I tell you this secret, among men, sometimes the classmate, they discuss. You know how they discuss, no? If ever your wife asks you, got tao jia or not, pa si be sai jin. You know what they say? Otherwise, they say you chop into 18 pieces, also you don't know. So this is what the world is going on. I think the English people also like that. That's why he say bullshit. Not the lady who can call cow. Cow shit. The female cow is called what? Call cow. Oh, cow is lady. Oh, female. That's why they never use cow shit. No? They say you bullshit. Cow dung. Oh, fertilizer. Okay. Okay. But that one doesn't mean you lie. No? When you say cow dung is fertilizer, no? Manual. But when you use that word, you know, every time people get angry, shit. You remember? First word they use is shit. Because I think it's the the style of English language. So never mind. Nothing to do with us Chinese. Okay, so I think that one you can read out. It's the thought that say. Okay, after 30, 40 years. Okay, but actually they cannot see their own thought. They keep on quoting the book or the text via their thought, which is accumulated knowledge and not wisdom. And because they cannot see their own thought, they become deluded. Then voluntary, involuntary, and spontaneous action. This is very good. This person asked this question. Breathing or heartbeat, we don't have to think about it, isn't it? Because it will go on by itself. But when we come to the unconsciously or subconsciously or voluntary and involuntary action, how do you develop the understanding? So good question, then you listen to my answer, I tell you, you will understand. You ask about voluntary and involuntary action, right? So you have to ask yourself, what is action? But he never find out, understand? What is action? Action is the form and mind or human being doing something, isn't it? Through what? Through your thought. That's how you act. But that's the only instrument. So I said, correct or not? Then voluntary action means there is a will involved. Correct or not? Yeah? As against spontaneous action. Because the thought got intention to act. Understand or not? That's why when you act according to memory, what happened? Yeah? Well, your memory teach you so many things, isn't it? Your views, your opinion, that's why you act according to that, conveniently. Well, this is habitual, then this is the only way you know how to act. Well, you haven't developed wisdom yet. You don't know there is such thing as wisdom. Within the field of thought and awareness, there are three types of action. What are they? Voluntary, involuntary, and spontaneous. But for your case, you only got two because you are only within the field of thought. You study biology before, isn't it? Voluntary action is when you have a will to define what you want to do or intend to do. Yeah? Like if I want to go come out of my sitting, then voluntary, I come out of my sitting. But for the biological experience, it is different. Yeah? You remember your biology teacher pass you a hammer, what you do? You put your leg cross leg, then the biology teacher use a rubber hammer to knock your knee. What happened? Automatic, isn't it? You need mental intention to jerk or not. Because your system is like that. Your nerve, your response. So, automatically and involuntary, it act or react. That one is involuntary action. There is no will. Like the nature's law. That one has nothing to do with the thought's intention. But from your physical, through nerves respond, it just move. That's involuntary action. Whereas voluntary action is through your will, mental intention. The third one is via wisdom. That's why wisdom don't go to thought. They act with wisdom. So what is wisdom? You have means you have, isn't it? Where is it? Where does wisdom reside? Got place or not? No place, isn't it? Why? The true mind awaken. Awaken means the form and mind connector. It understand. Understand is an understanding. It's a wisdom connected to the form and mind. That's it. It doesn't reside in your brain. Brain is knowledge. So the third one is via wisdom. Spontaneous action. No will is involved. No desire, no craving, no pre-planning, no checking with memory to inquire whether to do or not to do. My English very bad. Like that better or like that better. I also cannot understand why I say. But that time I know. Yeah? Like that better means your idea of action better or my idea of better action better. That's why you read, you confused. Like that better or like that better. If you act like that means you don't have wisdom. If you have wisdom, the word God, very bad, my English. Where got God one? Have, isn't it? Because we are colloquial English. Got money or not? Then last time my children come back, tell me opposite, you know. When you want to borrow money, you say what? They say lend, no? I don't know, my children came back and tell me that. Yeah, borrow from lend too, but you all always say, lend. Last time you always say like that, is that? The English teacher tell you that, lend me, lend me. Actually, he borrowed money from that person, and lend me the money. I also confused, no? Lend me, Correct, that one is correct, So lend to you, But it is not that person say I lend to you, no. My daughter and my son want to borrow money, no. He's not lend me, is it? I think borrow me money. But he mean I borrow from him, no. Why wrong? Correct or not? You lend and I borrow, same or not? That's why I say same. But they didn't use that, no. They just say, borrow me, borrow me, Should be lend me, borrow me, he's referring to him, no. Not you, you borrow from him, no. He borrow from you, no, understand? But he say, borrow me, That's why I cannot understand, first time. I say, why you have to borrow? Actually, he lend to him, understand? Means you borrow from me. I got confused. Borrow me. Borrow me. Why must borrow from people? Means you lend money from me. He said, no, daddy, borrow me. Means that person borrow from him. So that's why the convention, you have to be careful. If you have wisdom, you don't have to think or consider, then what you do? But instead, you act spontaneously. That's why wisdom don't refer to memory to act. Understand? That's why you look at the teaching, it's spontaneous action. Where you don't act from memory. Spontaneously, wisdom, you have means you have. You don't have means you don't have. Because according to Jay Krishnamurti, acting according to memory is not acting at all. That's why when you refer to memory means it's not spontaneous. Understand? You understand not? Your memory tell you so many things. What did memory tell you? This guy cannot be trusted. No. This guy cheat you before. No. So what you do? There is insecurity, fear. Understand not? Don't want to lend. Where you consider through selfishness. You separate. Then when you have your conditioning, it's worse. According to what I learned, not like that. No. My teacher said not like that. No. So you use that to act, you sure want to be right on and argue. You understand? But when you have wisdom, you just silent, listen, then you know. If that guy, that person don't have wisdom, you will know. He contradicts himself. He don't even understand the question that he's asking. That's why through wisdom you act, you are different. You don't have fear, don't have conditioning, don't have views, opinion, scars of merit, all don't have. You act with understanding. You understand, then you say something. Spontaneously. No need to remember anything. So this part, hopefully, slowly you understand. That's why that day in the Thursday class, I said, somebody told me she can do things spontaneously already. Was you? While in the office. He said, there was... I remember. Somebody give you... give you something like that. Oh, you bring something for them, Strawberry, this one very good. There was a colleague who earlier on had a misunderstanding with her, and she can feel it. So this colleague thought she was the one who did his year-end appraisal. I think Engby must be the immediate boss or what. He was not happy because he didn't get a good appraisal. But later on, he came to know that his appraisal was not done by our sister Engby. Then a few days later, after the Cameron Highland retreat, She brought some strawberry to her office and placed it on the table near the storeroom area. Then this colleague of her walked by, and spontaneously she talked to him now. She said, "There are some strawberry that I brought from Cameron Highland, and you can have a try. It's quite good, nice." Surprisingly, Ingby said, he was very friendly, you know, at that time. Then Ingby didn't feel anything. But later on, when she was on her own, then with her own awareness, she came to realize that it was the awareness that enabled her to act spontaneously. If she had a thought about it, she would not have approached this colleague, because there was already the memory that say, this colleague doesn't like me. You understand? Yeah? You can follow or not? So it may arise some misunderstanding if I approach him. But that day he spontaneously did it, and everything turned out beautiful. So when she recalled and reflected upon this incident, she just smiled, because suddenly this colleague was not like before anymore. So you cannot conceive or believe your thought. Your thought perceive it with the old experience, understand or not? But people have changed, you don't know, understand or not? So you didn't attentively listen, you didn't give that person a chance, understand or not? So likewise, your spouse also same. You don't go and assume this guy every time like that one. Want to do this, want to do that. So I'm going to tell him off this time. Then suddenly, you realize your husband was not like that. Then you can terbalik. I thought you were going to do that. Actually, I like that joke. I will bring food from the second wife. Remember that? It's a restaurant, no, the second wife. But you heard only, I will bring food from the second wife. No? What happened? You sure bang zang ma gram, angry. This guy, he think he can do this to me. I'm going to whack him. He opened the door, I whack him. So open the door, you whack him. No? Then he said, why did you whack me? What did you tell me? Bring food for second one. You look at the plastic bag. Second one is a restaurant. Then the wife say, huh? Like that, sorry. Whack already, sorry. So you don't preconceive. Don't believe your memory. Better find out first. If it's still really from the second wife's side, what must you do? 对耶?不对耶?接受啊,那是啦, accept first, don't get angry, calm down. Then apply Noble Eightfold Path, talk to him very nicely. You know what is behind if, let's say, my form and mind got such situation. My understanding is he dare to bring food from the real second wife, means it's something good, understand? Otherwise, why he subject himself to all the terror for what? All the misery for what? Means he got something to tell you one. Either it's the shock or what, understand? Why you straight away negative? To you is what? All husband like that. And you somehow say, this guy dare to tell me off on the phone, no? That's why you make mistake by what? You perceive it in negativity. Here you come to your conclusion. Based on what? Based on your views, your opinion. The way you think about him, the way you assess him. So you have to understand. That's why I say, listen first. Don't jump to conclusion, understand? Can do that, Now you realize this one is very good, isn't it? Accept first. Don't jump to conclusion. And then find out. Then if actually he tried to be funny, and then you want to get angry, it's up to you lah. Understand? Then you want to whack him, it's up to you lah. You know or not? Your lie, nothing to do with mine. Understand? I share with you Noble Eightfold Path. When you get angry, you got Noble Eightfold Path or not? Then what happened? If you do that, you get angry, he also get angry. You suffer, he also suffer. Then you know what he do? He said, the number three treat me so nice, Pou tong for me, and serve me, Do everything well. I come back, I cannot nag, I cannot scolding, So which he choose? You think he doesn't know how to choose? He choose the one that treat him very well. And then after that, he walk out of the house. Then you panic. That's why follow Guang Qing Lao Sang. Then follow Hai Tao. Welcome him to come and chant. Study Dhamma together. Then at peace, isn't it? What the planner's wife, the Koilo Asian wife. He said, my wife, one condition only. I know your job, your career, you're very busy. You got a lot of entertainment to do. So go. Whatever food you want to eat. The only rule is don't tapau back. Correct or not? Don't tapau back, you got no problem. You are still the legal wife. Nobody to fight with you. So he said, my wife, very good. That was a real story. It's not a joke. This planner really told us that. So different people got good karma. Because last time she also liked the wife. She understand what? Otherwise get angry for what? End up what? Miserable, divorce, worse. But close one eye, open one eye, means what? No problem, is that? What did Bayon Kathy say? Without the thought, I am peaceful, isn't it? With the thought, I become jealous, I become envy, I hate. What are you doing? Torturing yourself, creating attachment, suffering. You understand? But don't go and quote Brother Teo, whatever your husband do, accept first. Don't become angry. Don't stir, don't do all this. Without Dhamma, you advise her like that. I tell you, he is not going to be your friend. She is going to walk out on you. Say, what type of friend is it? Then end up what? Macau friend. You know what is Macau friend? Or? You know Cantonese or not? Macau is Mak Kwai friend. Or not? What type of friend is it? That's why he said you're from Macau. You're not helping us. So all this, you get to learn. Okay, we go on. Where am I? Which one? Wow, very good. I page 162 already. 3 more pages I finish. What time? Oh, you're 5 o'clock already. Not fast. Before I finish, Pamasuri wants some time to brief you on how to clean up. Remind me. Then also, tomorrow, very important announcement. Last night, Pamasuri told me. You know what is tomorrow? What day is it? Sakyamuni Buddha's renunciation date. And they are going to have a special Fa Hui. That's why the Tang Jia, the chief monk, say he is not free tomorrow morning. That's why tonight, this evening, he is going to come and we are going to do the closing ceremony. We are going to announce all those things. Then we are going to ask for forgiveness. When ask for forgiveness, can Pamasuri lead? Follow the chanting book, the Mandarin one. You have printed it at the back, isn't it? Ask for forgiveness. You lead in Mandarin. Well, my Mandarin cannot. Yes, bow to him. It's in Mandarin. You look at your chanting book at the back. Last page. What page is it? The normal chanting book. Last page. Ratio. What is on the last page? Page what? That is the retreat one. The normal one don't have. Retreat one. 67. Okay. Normal one got. Maybe first edition don't have. Second edition. Got. Page what? That one is the retreat version. Page 67. Okay. So I go through quickly. Check and question the thought. This is Bayon Kathy. Go back and read. I already finished. Okay, you go and read. I think I covered it already. Then habitual tendency and memory. How about habits or habitual tendency that condition our action. You don't follow habitual tendency. Habit is what? Yeah? From memory, is it? Because you accumulate experience that you like. Huh? Should be from your habit, isn't it? Huh? Experiences that you like, huh? From your habit, huh? The spelling is wrong. Huh? Experience that you don't like also become your habit. That's why you have like and dislike. Oh, sorry, correct. The experience that you like form your habit or become your habit. Then the one you don't like also become your habit. That's why you will have like and dislike. Immediately after you see something, you react so fast. Immediately after you hear something, you react so fast. So it applies for smell, taste, tactile, and thought. You also do the same. Then why did you react? Because you have become so heedless. And heedlessness develops habitual tendency. You know? Every time you see something, like and dislike, you stir. Hear something also like that. Recall something also like that. So what are you doing? Throughout the day, creating sensual desire and ill will. Correct or not? Mental hindrance. And you do it so often until it becomes habitual, understand? There's a habitual tendency. Then become like automatic. No need to think. You just react and respond. Like that. Kayamita, he want to teach the children mindfulness. Then the children one day reacted, say, Pa, enough, I know what you're going to say. So this is what happened, understand? So spontaneously, because it become habit, you already perceive, you kena before, you already know. So this one is all from the mundane mind. And what are habitual tendency? No need to think, also you will react that way, because that is your habitual tendency. And it comes from your conditioning via your views and opinion, or wrong views. Especially so, your self-delusion, which will condition you to arise the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. To react to sense experiences, thereby making you heedless. The heedless mind will condition you to have very strong habitual tendency to discriminate, react, and do things following your wrong view. That's why when you hear something from your wife, especially for married couple, straight away you will react. You may say, I know what you want to say already. That's enough. You may also do it to your own son. Or your children, where it has become so habitual. Every time you scold them using the same word, like I told you not to do, you still want to do. Familiar, not? Then, one day, your children may react back and say, Ma, Mommy or Daddy, that's enough, I know what you want to say. Then, you feel very hurt, isn't it? Small fellow trying to be funny. Yes, then what happened? You will become very sore, isn't it? All this can arise because you are not conscious or aware, not heedful at that time. The habitual tendency takes over. Through what? Through your anger, your selfishness, your unhappiness, etc., which are your evil roots, born of wrong thought that condition your habitual tendency. So understand this, because you already given it some thought and you have accumulated all this unhappy thought via memory. Then you become what? Become your latent tendency, your anusaya. No condition, they don't come out. Got condition, like machine gun, they just pop out. So no need to think at all because you already memorize and pre-plan your action as to what you want to do the next time when the same situation arises. That's why when you get angry, you think and you pre-plan all this. No need to think one. Got condition only zoom out already. Oh, wait, I take one call. The mic. This one is important. This one is.
I forward to you.
You need to get the client to update into the system.
you want in a retreat in Chennai. And in a retreat, I give him your number. I call to him already. I give you the number that you need to office up. You tell him that
the
manager. I'm not asking you to change. Don't mind, you listen. That one I will do. I will do when I go back. Understand now? You understand now? You can hear me now? Actually,
okay, sorry about that. Is it on already? Okay, I have to take that call because just now after the break, I went back and checked. Well, I don't know what the number is. It's from my office, actually. Then I called back. Then she told me one of my clients, he got this special, they call, like, your trading, when you hit certain target, you will be given a lucky draw. Then he was drawn. He's supposed to get either a handphone, iPhone 7, a new one, or a very special audio set, Sony, the other one. So I say, thank you so much. I say, I will inform my client. After I inform my client, she called. That's why luckily I take it out. He said, Mr. Teo, your client don't have handphone contact on. And you know what he tell me? He said, we cannot contact him, so he cannot get the price. I die in there. And Monday they want to make that call. No? So how? That's why I said, you listen. I said, but she's not listening. No. She always say, office procedure, rules. I cannot change client's number. I say, I give you the number now. You call, Monday I go back. I submit all the things that need to be submitted. Understand? Cannot know. Is it office rule? No. I got no power to change client's phone number. Then you call me for what? Understand? I already on leave. I submitted official leave. Then luckily after that, I think she finds it. Okay, you send me the contact. Then we contact him unofficially. You understand? On one side, he said cannot office procedure. Then now no choice already, unofficially. I said, I reminded her what? You heard it just now. You are the same office in charge of all this admin thing. You're supposed to help us remind her or staff when we are on leave. Isn't it? Means you are not doing your job. Understand? Not? True or not? I don't want to be right. I still seek his her understanding. And then luckily she immediately, that's why I resolve. I send the thing out already. Okay, now we continue. The next one is, where was I? 5.3.2, wisdom. Okay, now we continue with J. Krishnamurti. In this awareness, the problem unfolds and unrolls itself, and thus it is fully and completely understood, which means no more fragmentation. Means you have complete understanding. No more only this fragment, that fragment, and instead you act with complete understanding as opposed to thought which is limited and fragmented. Krishnamurti always used this word, thought is limited, thought is fragmented. Because thought cannot see the totality. Do you understand? And overall. That's why thought-based meditation cannot develop wisdom and understanding. Thought can become cunning, smart, or intelligent. Thought can be very intellectual, but it cannot develop wisdom. Thought can only develop knowledge which is rigid. That's why Jai Krishnamurti said, a problem is never resolved on its own, being complex. It must be understood in its total process. That's why this one is very important. Eh? So just like what I have told you all just now, you cannot have a fragmented solution to spiritual understanding. Spiritual understanding needs total understanding of the whole of the thought and its content and their limitation. Also, how thought divide via words, concept, to deceive you into conflict, argument, war, and attachment, etc., to arise the fear and suffering in you, and how thought project to arise the illusionary time of past and future, which are never the reality, to deceive you and make you heedless. It cannot be at the fragmented level when thought analyzes things, or the way thought looks at things. Because thought, being limited and egoic, only looks at things from the logic side, or the egoic point of view, from knowledge and intellectual, etc. That's why I used to share with you all this quote. Whatever that is logical may not necessarily be the truth, and is usually always the opposite. So now you understand, Jai Krishnamurti quote. This Krishnamurti quote. If I don't explain, I don't think any of you can understand. But after my explanation, you can at least, at the intellectual or knowledge level, develop a very high degree of understanding. And that will establish and stabilize a base for you to receive truth. Then after that, if you meditate with understanding diligently, you can awaken very fast. Because if you already had the base, with an open mind, the moment you see truth, straight away it will connect to what you had reflected and contemplated early on, for you have understood what that thing is. Then the whole thing just arises and you just awaken. That's what Jai Krishnamurti meant, because you had seen it in the awareness itself, which means the truth has been realized, no more a theory. And you will keep on experiencing this type of awakening. Well, when your contemplative Dhamma, that second turning, is stable, meaning you have straightened your view, then you can understand very easily. Last two pages. Through this understanding, what will happen to you? You will be no longer deluded by thought-based meditation. By then, the egoic mind, you can see very clearly. Then unknowingly, it will slowly develop the stability of understanding and wisdom that will start to change you. The way you live your life, the way you think, the way you approach things, and the way you become aware of things. You will no longer be like before. Not like before anymore. The thought try to be aware. You will not do that foolish thing anymore. You will just know how to trade your mind to just be silent. Like this retreat, I have taught you so many things in there. You go back, you will become different, understand? You will know how to reflect, and even though you cannot remember everything, at least you will recall something in there. Correct? If not, check your kalimita. Yeah, brother Teo said that Guang Qing Lao Sang Wan, very wise. So that one should come out, isn't it? That every time you want to get angry, I must follow this advice. Then you try it out. Then you realize that if I accept, I don't stir my mind, I don't get angry, then I have clarity. Well, then I act with noble effort, with wisdom. Then what must you do? You realize you forgot to learn what noble effort is. Understand? You don't know what right view, don't know what right thought. Then you call Kayamita. You got to take note, or you remember or not? Which page? Then you call Jinhao, you call Sui An. If your Google search, how one? At least you still try. But if you have been attentive, listen, you look at Pulai, she make note. She will know what to do when I tell you. Most of it she can recall because she sees it so clearly. Yeah. When you have gone through life and now, and you are very, very, what they call, very serious about life, means you pay attention. Yeah? Then you really reflect on it. Yeah? You will learn, you will understand. Beauty is so important. That's why she questioned her life. Is that what I want? Yeah. What am I doing all this? Is it the ego or what? That's why you have to question. When you have the question, means you inquire. Then when you inquire, when the Dhamma fall into play, you realize this is what you have been asking. Then the answer comes. That's why to her it's very fast. You see it very clear. These are the questions she has been asking herself. Understand? Then she can come up with a game of suffering. All this. Silent means what? If your mundane mind is still heedless, then you need to decondition. This one I've done already. You can read. A problem is never resolved on its own level. Means not looked at in a fragmented way. Then being complex or complicated, it must be understood in its total process. So this one means you have to understand the whole of the content of consciousness within that thought. Plus the way thought, plus the way of thought, power of thought to divide, to delude, to develop egoic mind with self-delusion and to be selfish, possessive, and fearful, etc. All this need to be understood. That's why you understand the totality of thought, not only one fragment. You only learn thought divide. Then the rest all you don't know. Thought limited, you don't know. And you don't know how to apply, you only know the words. So all this means you haven't comprehended it. The totality, when you comprehend, you see the big picture, you understand. Then no matter how the content is, you can deal, you can attend to it, you know how to resolve it. And all this can be understood via what? Just silencing your mind and maintain a choiceless awareness. Then you will be able to see how your mind stir and how the habitual tendency come to be and how craving come to be, how attachment comes to be, and how it condition grasping, becoming, and birth leading to all the suffering. This is dependent origination. You see it in your form and mind. This is seeing the dependent origination, dwelling, and the Four Noble Truths within your own form and mind. The three evil roots, the five mental hindrances, and the five spiritual faculty via your sati. That's real meditation. That's why in the Satipatthana Sutta, especially under Dhammanupassana, the first category of practice is mindfulness of the five mental hindrances, followed by five aggregate of form and mind, then the six internal sense bases, and six external sense bases, or the 18 sense drive, followed by awareness of the seven factors of enlightenment. Because by then, you are very near to enlightenment. And the seven factors of enlightenment will keep on arising. Then you know you are on the right path. After that, you will become very mindful of the Four Noble Truths. You will see and understand them all. Then all the three turning of the Four Noble Truths, you will know how to do them. That's how your meditation will take off. Can take off. Then J. Krishnamurti continued, to try to solve a problem only at one level, whether physical or psychological, leads to further conflict and confusion. You cannot do it in a fragmented way. So this one you go back and read. They are all explained there. Then thought is respond to memory. Next page. Hence it is the past within the field of thought or field of known. So, and thought cannot touch the unknown. For the resolution of a problem, there must be this awareness, this passive alertness, which reveals its total process. Alertness is what? Attention. Hence, no thought, just aware. And then you just silent and aware during meditation. Then with every moment of consciousness, you will witness the real Dhamma arising from within your own form and mind, and not through theory. That is how, upon contact, consciousness and feeling come together. You know, it's not linear. Both are there. Then when meditating, always just silence the mind and don't go and recall what the book say and all those things. That's why you cannot meditate this way, otherwise you will get conned or deceived by the thought. Because you tend to look for insight in the form of Dhamma or knowledge, which is not the true insight. Then who look? Again, the thought look. And you still think this is true Dhamma. You think, wow, I saw Anicchang already. I saw dependent origination already. That is upon contact feeling arise. But actually, it's your thought telling you. It's your thought looking for feeling. And you feel with your thought, which is not sati. And you you some more gullibly believe you have seen it. So the English is colloquial. Then when people explain to you that upon contact, apart from feeling, consciousness also arrives, you say, no, you are wrong. Because you meditate according to the text, with the thought. But if you meditate with a silent mind, you will be very different. You will understand and awaken without word, thoughts or verbalization. When you have realized, it will be totally different, because upon contact of mind, so many things actually happen. And he who had awakened can tell you that it is like that. And they don't have to check with textbook. That is the real one. The moment you mention something, you can spontaneously explain or tell. He can explain to you straight away. Yes, it's like that. Just like Six Patriarch Huineng, who was an illiterate. But the moment he speaks the truth, the moment you speak the truth or he hears the truth, he understands why. Well, he had realized them in his meditation before. This is what J. Krishnamurti meant by there must be an awareness in order to have this total understanding. Your thought cannot understand. Then this awareness, which is just passive alertness or attention, will reveal its total process. Because when you are silent, you are fully aware of what is happening. Then phenomena will show it to you clearly. There are three universal characteristics: suffering, non-self, and empty nature. Then you will also witness what the dependent origination is all about, what this world is all about, what life and existence are all about, what phenomena is all about, not from the text or the theory part. When you just silence your mind, you can understand many things. That's why I always say, you don't try to know while you are meditating. You just silence and meditate sincerely with the faith, and when the understanding arrives, the form and mind will know, and you will awaken to it. There is no thought involved, but just awareness via direct seeing. Then one awaken to it. Then that understanding is wisdom, the intelligence or Pajna. And through that you straighten your view and you can live life with that understanding. That's why after that, this form of mind does not suffer anymore, where it has got no more delusion. Hence, no more suffering. Please remind me to also explain the importance of this J. Krishnamurti quote. During sharing with Tuesday class, these are not important. Okay, finish. Then you turn. Then one more. Appendix 6. The 31 plane of existence I explained before. You read yourself. Those tables. Appendix 4, 5, 6. 4 and 5. Number 6 is very good. Appendix 6. Training the mind. You listen. This one we have to cover. Training the mind via understanding the essential Dhamma and meditation as taught by the Buddha. Never mind. Later on, 6:30, you got time. Via understanding the essential Dhamma and meditation as taught by the Buddha. Notes compiled mainly from various talks given by Brother Teo at Tiratana Buddhist Society, Klang. That one is on the 20th June, 2014, Thursday class, especially the one held in Sui An's house on the 10th of July. And March 14. All 2014. Cameron Highland Retreat at Sampo Temple. Listen, what is a trained mind? A trained mind is what? Always silent, heedful, peaceful, relaxed, and naturally aware with it. So now you understand. It has the clarity born of inner peace and inner awareness to see things as they are, leading to the wisdom needed to arise the wise attention or yoniso manasikara at every moment of sense experience. so that one is always at peace and with the moment to live life. It will listen to you. If you want it to be silent, it will be silent, peaceful and aware. It will just do that or be that. You can use it and direct it appropriately to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path leading to heedfulness. It will become like a servant to you. It will serve you well. A trained mind is ever mindful and constantly meditative. Hence, it is based from which wisdom will keep on arising. Whereas the untrained mind, by now you know that you have been having it for so long. An untrained mind is heedless. Heedless means what? It thinks a lot and reacts easily to sense experience and is constantly lost in thought most of the time. And as per Dhammapada verse 21, the heedless are as if dead. True or not? True or not? You don't even recognize the heedless mind, then how are you going to train yourself? It's like a devil's workshop. And it will make you very evil. You know, devil are evil beings, isn't it? The devil take over your mundane mind or become his workshop. No, you want? Careful, very good. You have no control over it. It actually controls you and takes over your life, causing you suffering. The thinking mind, the mundane mind, which is healer, need to be trained. Deluded with wrong view, it easily get angry, selfish, emotional, and fearful. Hence the suffering. It has got, it don't have understanding. But I'm used to this word. No? It has got no understanding of what is going on in life. It lacks wisdom because it's deluded. Now, then how to train the mind? Very beautiful. Go and read. Without wisdom, living beings are heedless. Hence, they suffer because they don't understand life. To understand life, one must understand the secret of life, which is the Four Noble Truths as taught by the Buddha. To understand the Four Noble Truths, one must train one's mind to be heedful. One's mind to be heedful. The nurse, cancer. To understand what is going on in life. So as to understand who are you, what are you, and how your mind functions, so that you understand what causes your suffering, and how our mundane mind, deluded mundane mind, get muddled up in life. The untrained mind is heedless and not peaceful because of five mental hindrances. That one I'll explain already. This mental hindrance will hinder you from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner awareness. And to overcome that, you have to cultivate the opposite fire. All done, So all this explain three phases of Dhamma. Read yourself. Pariyati, Patipati, and Pativeda. All done already. Then all the three turning, all in the table form. You go through yourself. Then importance of Sati. You have to read through. I already go through. Sati is extremely important because without Sati, you will become heedless. One will not be able to follow the Buddha's advice. To avoid all evil, do good and purify the mind. One will not be able to. That one is apamadena sambadeta. Then the other one, the Dhammapada verse 183, all done. One will not be able to keep one's precept, then done. There will be no spiritual faculty, done. Without mindfulness, no form foundation of mindfulness cultivation. One will not be able to investigate Dhamma. There will be no seven factors of enlightenment. There will be no Noble Eightfold Path cultivated. So, see the importance of all this coming from Sati. Then, important advice to meditator. One, don't try to know anything during meditation. Just silence the mind and let things be. The understanding will arise on its own. The moment you are truly silent and relaxed, Sati is already there. This is a silent mind that can investigate into phenomena. Then let the phenomena tell you the story. Don't go and look for the story with your thought or Dhamma knowledge. The pitfall of thought-based meditation, you read yourself, because this one I have covered it. Using the silent mind, samasati. When your mind is silent without any thought, you will understand everything that is going on within your five mental aggregates of form and mind. And you will awaken to the three universal characteristics. You will understand all this. Seven universal, all here. That's how you develop wisdom. Otherwise, you lack yoniso manasikara. You will see all this within your meditation, and that is the real direct seeing. All this done already. Seven universal also explained. Five ways to overcome unwholesome thought also in a table form. Very nicely work out. Then how to trace the origination factor, fourth way. Then all the various types of skillful means. Then how to reverse. Develop wisdom via reversing it retrospectively. The key here is silent mind. Then appendix 7, you read. Last one. Then the three turning, appendix 8, very important. You go and read. Finish. Okay. Pama Sri, come. You take over. You have to cleaning. Then we go for what? Afterward, the 6:30 evening chanting, you can brief them. Okay. What time is Fasan? 8. Then we go. We quickly go ahead with what they call the dinner. Those who take dinner, do it fast. Those who don't take, you can have your whatever free time to do what you have to do. Okay, then come back at 6:40 or 6:30. 6:40. No problem. The evening chanting we already done earlier on the morning chanting. No need to repeat. We can save quite a lot of time for your briefing. And you want to sit, you can sit. If Fachan Sufu coming at 8, we better have our what they call the closing ceremony. So immediately after the briefing, your evening chanting, I go to closing ceremony. Yes. Today 23rd is for the 7:30 to 9:15. Okay. Thank you.